It is. Karen reminded us of that earlier in the kids' talk. That video reminds us that good things can come in small packages. Surveys show that amongst the most popular gifts this year are gift cards, jewellery, perfume, money, and an iPhone X, preferably silver, Karen. They're all pretty small, aren't they? And so it may be, kids, that that big present under the tree, tucked right up the back, that little one that you haven't even noticed at the back, it may turn out to be the best present of all, because really good things can come in small packages. That is certainly the case with the birth of Jesus. And it's also the case with how Matthew describes the birth of Jesus. Because in Matthew's Gospel, which was the first Bible passage that Eddie read for us this morning, the good news of Jesus' birth is wrapped up in three small little words. They are three words that come just after the angel has told Joseph that Mary will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. And then, so that we don't miss the significance of this name, Matthew adds, which means God with us. Now that is a good thing in a small package. That is an astonishing truth in a very small, short sentence. Nine letters. And I defy anyone to say anything that is more earth-shattering than those three short words, God with us. Now, I know you've probably got a lot of things on your mind this morning. Please try and think about this. Even if you've heard it before, perhaps especially if you've heard it before, don't rush past this too quickly. God with us. Think about that first word, God. This is the God who is the creator and sustainer and ruler over absolutely everything. The God who owns this building. The God who owns the chair you're sitting on. The God who owns you and me. Everything on this planet, we are only here because of this God. Without this God's ongoing permission, nothing would exist. I believe it's going to be a clear night tonight. Tonight, go outside and have a look up at the stars in the sky. There is a lot of them up there. They reckon that there's 70,000 million, million, million stars in the universe. That's a 70 followed by 22 zeros. There are quite literally more stars in the sky than there are grains on the sand in the entire planet. A scientist in WA did the math, apparently. That is mind-boggling. God made every single one of them just by saying the word. Back at our place, we've got a piano. I can't even budge with all my weight behind it. God creates a universe, doesn't break into a sweat, just has to say the word. This is the God that the Bible describes as engulfed in splendor and majesty. This is the God from whom the mountains tremble and the whole earth quakes. This is the God whose glory fills the entire earth. This is the God before whom the nations are like a drop in a bucket. This is the God before whom the world superpowers are nothing but a speck of dust on a set of scales. This is the God who simply has to have the thought cross his mind and the entire world would disappear in an instant. God, maker, sustainer, ruler of every single thing. And look, I realise that some of us here this morning may not actually believe in this God. I get that. Some of you might be here this morning because it's Christmas. That's just what you do. It's a tradition. We go to church. Maybe you're staying with a family and you've come along, which is great. We love having you here, but it might be that you're here and in all honesty, you're not convinced that this God even exists. That's where the second word comes into its own. God with us. Notice it doesn't say God made us, doesn't say God notices us, doesn't even say that God loves us as true and good and right as those things might be. It says God with us. God physically being with us. I mean, can you get your head around that for a moment? This is the God that we just thought about who created the entire universe and placed all the stars in the sky. And this God was pushed out of the womb of a teenage girl. And he had arms. And he had legs. And he had lungs. It'd be laughable if it wasn't true. Because remember, this is Christmas. This isn't simply a nice story. There are lots of nice stories floating around this time of the year at Christmas, isn't there? Stories like flying reindeers and talking snowmen and red and green elves. There's lots of fun things that we surround the day with, but God with us, this is in a totally different category. This is history. This is real. And because it is real, it is mind-boggling. After walking all around Charlestown Square, I did finally find a nativity scene. You know where it is? Nah, thought you wouldn't. I had to look everywhere, but there is a little model of Jesus, Joseph and Mary in a glass case on the top floor, just outside Country Road. And I think I've said this before, but literally no one notices it. No one looks at it. You don't even know it's there. Everyone just rushes past it. Then, right in the middle of Charlestown Square, there's Charlestown Square wish catching out, but can't miss it. Massive. There's Santa sitting in his chair and the place is packed and people are smiling and they're laughing and they're waving to Santa. Up at the nativity scene, not a soul. And look, I know that's probably an unfair comparison. One is a real person, the other is a static statue. I get that, but still, it ought to be the opposite. I mean, you think that the nativity scene will be the place packed with people, because if you can actually get your head around what is being depicted in that nativity scene, you could not help but pause and gaze and stop and wonder at how amazing it must have been on that first Christmas night. the God of the entire universe, has turned up as a baby in a manger. And if you were in the right place at the right time, you could have held God in your arms. Now, the implications are endless. If you are here this morning and you are unsure if there is a God, you don't have to be unsure anymore. Jesus has taken the guesswork out of it. He exists and he has come to earth to show us. In fact, when the baby grew up to be a man, Jesus clearly showed us that he was God with us. By what he did. Power and authority and wisdom just oozed out of Jesus. When historical records record how people just flocked to him because they sensed that this guy was extraordinary. Jesus would walk up to people in the middle of their daily routine and tell them how important he was and that they should just drop everything and follow him, and they did it. And then to show how powerful and important he was, he did extraordinary stuff. He turned water into wine. He healed the blind. He healed the paralyzed. He fed thousands of people with just a few fish and some bread. He calmed a storm. He raised people from the dead to show that he was indeed God with us. Which throws emphasis on that last word, God with us. It's the shortest of the three words, just two letters, but it's probably the most thought-provoking one of all, I think. In the sense that, why on earth would God come to earth to be with us? Think about it. For starters, here we are living on a pretty small-sized planet compared to others. Circling around a pretty modest-sized star compared to others. On the edge of what astronomers reckon is a pretty puny universe compared to others, all in the back blocks of a massive universe. And so if we were to picture the universe as the Queen of England's Buckingham Palace, it's as if we were living on a speck of dust in the corner of a drawer somewhere in that mansion. And yet God comes to be with us? Really? And if that is not enough, here we are, little pipsqueaks that we are, shaking our puny little face in the God of all the universe, because that's effectively what we do and how we live. He gives us life and everything good in this world to enjoy, and more often than not, we just ignore him. We take him for granted. We only ever call on him when we want something or when we're in trouble. That's an awful way to treat anybody, let alone the God of the universe. And yet still he comes in person to be with us. And if that's not enough, when God does come, when he does come, he's not even here to punish us for shaking our fists in the God who made us. He comes to help us. That's the wonderful message of Christianity. That when the baby Jesus grew up to be the man Jesus, he willingly died in our place on the cross, so that instead of us facing the punishment for the way that we have treated the God who made us, Jesus willingly in our place dies on the cross. So that instead of us facing the punishment, he bears it for it. He is punished on our behalf so as to restore things between us and God, so to give us the opportunity of a life with God that we just don't deserve. You roll all that together, and that is an extraordinary statement, that God is here with us. Extraordinary because, A, that he notices in the first place, B, that he's here to help us and not punish us, and C, the sacrificial way that he will go to actually help us. God with us. Extraordinary. And I guess that's why you're here today, because it is extraordinary. And it can flood our life with incredible hope and comfort. Because God with us is good news in a small package. Which is exactly what Matthew was getting at in our reading, which we read a little bit earlier. Now I don't know if you noticed it or not, but Matthew by far was the most subdued of our two readings. The Bible has two accounts of Jesus' birth, one in Matthew, one in Luke. We heard a reading from each, didn't we? But did you notice the difference in tone between them? In Luke, which was the second reading that we had, it was all about excitement and joy. Did you notice in Luke, everybody is singing. In the chapters leading up to our reading, Mary is singing. Mary's relative, Zechariah, is singing. In our reading, multitudes of angels are singing, and shepherds are roaming around the countryside, praising and glorifying God. If they were to make Luke into a movie, it'd be a musical, and it would be one big Christmas party. Because Luke wants us to sense the excitement of the birth of Jesus. But in Matthew, there is no manger, there is no star, there is no heavenly choir. In Matthew, no one is singing. In Matthew, Mary and Joseph don't even say a word. It's almost as if they are just shell-shocked at what's happened to them. And we see it through the eyes of Joseph. The eyes, presumably, of a broken-hearted young man. His fiancée is having a baby, but the baby is not his. Technically, back then, he could have a stone to death. But Joseph is a gentleman, a righteous man. He just wants a quiet divorce so that he can move on in his life. And it's into that almost gloomy scene that Matthew drops these three words, God with us. And it's almost with those words, God has turned on this massive, blinding ray of hope. I mean, it'd be like driving around Newcastle looking at the lights at Christmas time, and you drive down one street and it is all dark and it's gloomy. You can hardly see any of the houses. But then you reach this one house with so many lights on it, and it is so bright, it burns into your retina. That is the effect of these three words in Matthew's gospel within the gloom of his account. They just leap off the page. Because where Luke wants to excite us, Matthew wants to comfort us. Matthew wants to reassure us that even in this messed up, broken world, God with us, it is indeed good news in a small package. And I'd love you to be encouraged by that this morning. Because maybe there are times when you felt like Joseph felt on that first Christmas, Maybe there are times when you feel sad. Maybe there's times when you feel disappointed. Times when you feel confused about how your life has actually turned out. Maybe there are times when you feel insignificant or overlooked or ignored. Maybe you're feeling like that this morning. Please know that that is not how God sees you. In the dark and mess, there is a light. Even in confusion and fear, there is hope. Even in joy and laughter, there is much more. There is a God. He's been with us. And he wants us to be with him for all eternity. The virgin will be with child and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. I'll pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful day. We thank you for all the good things that will happen this day. But most of all, we thank you that today we celebrate you, the God of the universe, entering into your world to be with us. Thank you for the birth of your Son, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Thank you for the things that he went on to do as a man, especially dying on the cross in our place for our sin. Thank you that through his coming, we can be restored back to you. We can have hope and comfort in this messed up world. We don't deserve this. We recognise that, but we humbly thank you for it. Father, to you be all glory and honour this day.